Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today, talking
sports. Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all, a little bit of golf, maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back rock
and start the show.
Don't you understand? We'll bring back Rocky.
There's
some boxing this weekend, too, so we got to mention that. Our boy Floyd Money Mayweather's boxing on tomorrow. So you're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, hyped up on this Friday for some sports, baby. We got a lot to talk about, and there's a lot going on in a lot of sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails. We might get to one or two. They're kind of building up. At rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website. It's interactive. We got a lot of things coming up. I mean, you got to check out our mock draft. We're revealing our 1.0. We only do one. Ray and I, we're solid. We stand by the one. Well, it comes Monday, May 5th, 5 p.m. Eastern. So we have our NFL draft preview show. Check for that. And then check Monday, May 12th, when we review everything and wrap it all up. We're also going to talk to Randall Cunningham, legendary all-pro, all-world star. Randall Cunningham from the
UNLV?
Eagles and Vikings. Yes, yes.
I
so all you
UNLV,
running rebels
though.
Out there, come check us out, you know. So, Ray, let them know what we're talking about this show, man. I'm feeling like I need a mint julep.
Well, this is the weekend to get your mint julep making right. So we've got a lot going on in breaking news. We have some football signings. Some options being picked up by some teams. We have this weekend coming up, very interesting weekend, right? We've got the Kentucky Derby going on. We've got Money Mayweather fighting. Ray and Tay will also bring you some baseball talk. So we got to talk about baseball. I mean, that's going to carry us through the summer. So we got to give them their props. We've got some NHL. We've got some first round
playoffs
in the NHL.
Yeah.
So we got a lot to jump
they
around.
They had three
on.
Game sevens, too. Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
And then, of course, we've got to talk about the NBA. Three game sevens tomorrow. Three game sixes tonight. Some of these sixes might lead to game sevens, but what an NBA playoffs. Probably definitely the best first round I can ever remember, and maybe the start to what might be the best playoffs, you know, of all time, but certainly the best first round we've ever seen. So we'll talk about that, and then we will warm it up, Chris, for the exactly. We'll start the prelude to our NBA draft show. Our NFL draft preview show, which is on Monday. We'll talk about six teams. We'll talk about their needs. We'll talk about some of the players, high-profile players across the offense and defense. It's a lot of fun. So the NFL and ESPN and the NFL Network and these guys have turned the NFL draft into just a marketing bonanza, but we love it.
It's a three-day extravaganza.
Right, but
it's
3 months leading up to it, too.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, listen, let's start with some of the breaking news, and that is in the NFL. It looks like he's had a lot of trouble lately, you know, beef at the airport, beef at his house. Alden Smith has got the fifth-year option. The Niners picked that up. I don't know. It could be a risk. You know, he might get suspended. He might be in some sort of, you know, rehab. He went in last year for alcohol. Or it might just be a smart business decision because, you know, on the cheap, you know, paying him $9-something million, you know, this guy's a pass rusher. Those guys can make a lot of money in the NFL. What are your thoughts? And, you know, your Cowboys picked up Tyron Smith. You know, a lot of guys got picked up for their fifth year with the new contracts, the way they work out.
Yeah, so I thought that the Niners would not pick up Alden Smith and they would make a statement.
Right.
And basically say, look, we'll deal with you as a free agent next year. But they made the right business move. Now, I don't know if it's the right move, you know, for the franchise, for the fans. But business-wise, if you can get a top NFL pass rusher for only, quote-unquote, $9.5 million, that's actually fairly cheap because the going rate for those guys is more like 15. So what they're doing is they're reserving the right to bring him back in 2015, and he's not guaranteed. So if he doesn't get injured, then they can still cut him next year. So he doesn't guarantee – that money isn't guaranteed. It's just if they do decide to bring him back, his salary is set at $9.5 million. So I thought that was interesting. I guess another thing we need to talk about is Justin Blackmon now. It looks like the GM in Jacksonville is saying that Blackmon's status for 2014 is up in the air. So
wow, what happened
looks
now?
Like they're not looking to get much out of him, which might make me have to change my draft because right
mock,
now,
right, Sammy Watkins now.
Yeah,
right.
I have them taking Khalil Mack at number three. But if
yeah.
they get nothing out of Justin Blackmon and basically have to write him off, who was a top five pick, you know,
and
they're
relying
on
Cecil Shorts.
Yeah, they might have to get them a Sammy Watkins because everybody.
If he's there,
Sammy
that's
Watkins.
The question. If he's there, but you know what? We'll talk more about that when we get into the football. Let's look at the Kentucky Derby. I'm kind of excited. Obviously, you know, we don't know the three-year-old horses. You know, you got to be a racing aficionado. But, you know, there hasn't been a Triple Crown winner since 1978. And this number one horse, what is it, California Crown, is in the fifth seed or fifth lane. And I didn't know this. You know, no one in the Kentucky Derby has ever won from, and there's 17, right? There's 17 slots. So you're on the fence there, number one, and then you're all the way on the edge
California
of 17.
Chrome.
No one's ever won. Yeah,
well,
California Chrome.
They're a 5-2 favorite, California Chrome, or them. He is a 5-2
yeah.
favorite. So, and he's out of the number five hole. So I guess that's a good place to be, I suppose. And then they've got, it's funny because the next best horse I'm looking at is 6-1 odds to win. So he's 5-2, California Chrome. Wicked Strong is next out of the 20th position at 6-1. And then you got two others at 8-1. So Intense Holiday in the 16th spot and Danza in the number four slot. So, you know, there's a lot of long shots, and I think it's the biggest field. I think they have one scratch.
Yeah, 20.
So it's down to 19. So it was 20, but this opportunity is a scratch. So 19 horses.
Right.
A lot
Which
of
they
horses.
Said that horse had a good shot too. So I, you know, that's you hate to hear about a potential front runner getting scratched. But you know what? I'm gonna go with Boston Strong. Wicked Strong.
Wicked Strong?
Yeah,
okay.
I gotta go with Wicked Strong. I'm gonna go with the upset here, and California will.
California Chrome
come in second,
coming
and California Chrome is second, and I got Danza in third to place. Win, place, and show for you betting fans, right?
Okay.
Win, place, and show. So
I grew up liking Who's the Boss. So
you're
going
to go with Tony Danza.
I'm going to go with Danza. Tony Danza. Give props to Tony D. I'm going to go with Tony Danza, number one. I'm going to go with California Chrome, number two.
Okay,
and then Wildcat Red at 15-1. That's like that's Rick Pitino right there. Wildcat from his Kentucky days and Red from his Louisville days. So those
there
are my
you go.
Best win, place, and show for Ray. Right
win,
there.
Place, and show. All right. Well, we got it recorded, so we'll see. Now, let's talk about, look, we asked, and we'll get into this, this might be the best NBA playoffs first round. Well, you know what? It's a pretty darn good one in hockey, and Ray and Tay got to talk about it. The other night, it was the first time ever that they had three Game 7s in their first round on the same night. And, you know, the Rangers, the Wild, and the L.A. Kings won. Minnesota, New York, and L.A. all won. But the question is, I mean, New York fans are getting kind of wild up. I see the Post and other people saying the Rangers will beat the Penguins, who've, you know, advanced in the second round. When you start to look at it, I mean, obviously, you know, we haven't spoken that much about it. We did, you know, talk about in the beginning of the season that we thought the Blackhawks, you know, might get back. But Blackhawks in the second round, they're playing the Minnesota Wild. I wonder if that momentum of winning a Game 7, if Minnesota could, you know, pull an upset on them. But I do like the Rangers beating Pittsburgh. I think the Rangers, that
really?
Trade seemed to work out for them. Yeah, but I think they're going to have to do it in 7. I think they're going to have to do it in 7.
The one weakness, or the biggest weakness, that the Penguins have is Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, I hate to say it, but you know,
yeah.
Especially in hockey, you go as far as your goalie can take you, and you know, the next most important position in all of sports is the starting pitcher in baseball, and maybe next would be your quarterback in football. But there's nothing more important in the playoffs than your goalie, and they probably have one of the, you know, weaker goalies, you know, left in the tournament. So.
Yeah, they're more about offense.
In that respect, the Rangers
scoring,
have a chance, right? The Rangers have a chance. Rangers had to go to 7. It was a tough series with Philly. They won 2-1, and they forced a game. You know, they won a game 7, and then have to go. You know, start the series in Pittsburgh. I think I like Pittsburgh still in this series. I think Chicago also. Last night, Montreal and Boston went to double overtime.
Yeah,
and Montreal won. Now, that's one of those big six, you know, original big six matchups. You got to love that. And then the last one, you've got the L.A. Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. So that one starts on Saturday. That's Saturday night. So it looks like I'll take the Kings.
Yeah, I like the Kings.
And Chicago, Montreal. I'm going to stick with Montreal. I think Montreal can
stick
beat
Montreal.
Boston. Yeah, I think they can pull that upset.
I'll take the Bruins, Rangers, Blackhawks, and Kings. So that'll be my final four. So, you know, we'll see. Well, listen, we'll go. We'll bounce in and out with some playoff hockey, you know. Obviously, you know, it's not the, you know, we don't touch that much on MMA and UFC and hockey, but every once in a while, Rain Tate will dibble and dab you and give you a little something. So before we get to talking about, you know, some baseball and then the NBA playoffs, a champion is fighting this weekend. You know, Mother's Day, we shout out to the mothers, wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day on Sunday. But Floyd Mayweather is fighting Saturday night. Does he keep his undefeated status? I say yes.
Yeah,
some distractions,
I don't think,
maybe. You know.
You know what? I don't think this is. He's going to lose a fight. I do believe. I just don't think that this is the fight he's going to lose. So I think that he's got an unbelievable speed advantage over Maidana. So I'm not sure that this is the guy that's going to knock Floyd off. I think you need somebody quick, and you need somebody that could potentially, you know, either wear Floyd out or knock him out, because Floyd is too quick and he's too great of a defensive boxer, and this kid Marcos is too slow. So I don't think Marcos can catch him. And if Marcos can't catch him, then Floyd is going to do what Floyd does, right? It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be a boxing tutorial, and
Is he the best defensive boxer of all time? Is he at that place? Some will say arguably he's the best fighter of all time, but just defense. You know, I think of some guys that were great at avoiding punches, and Leonard, maybe Sugar Ray Robinson, other guys, you know, through the years. But you know, even Hagler, maybe
he's
very
be
disciplined
just because. His speed, his quickness, his instinct, his defensive nature, and also the fact that he doesn't have a knockout punch. So the knockout punches can take more chances because they'll say, look, you can hit me once or twice, but if I hit you, you're going down. But Mayweather's not knocking anybody out. I mean, he does occasionally, he's not consistently knocking his opponents out. So he might be one of the best.
Well, listen, you know what he wants to do? He might be the best. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to be one of these ownership groups of the Clippers.
Well,
we can't forget that. Since our show, we got to wrap that up.
$40-50 million a fight. Then
he's got a lot of money in the bank. Don't sleep. Mayweather is definitely, gosh, I couldn't imagine his bank account. He's paid. I'll say this, right? It all happened after our Monday show. We had some great callers, Oren and Gary, G-Money called in to talk about it. Silver came down strong and swift. We all applauded him. We tweeted some stuff out about it. You had some players that were maybe all the players were getting ready to boycott. You know, he did the right thing. The problem is right now, I think they should make this owner vote public, and it would probably be 29-0. If it's not, there could be some issues there. But I think the NBA is going to have a major league lawsuit going on because I don't think Sterling is going to go away quietly. I just, don't think there's rumblings of – maybe cancer, maybe this, maybe that. I don't know what's going on, whatever. But I don't think Sterling is going to go away quietly.
Well, not only that, but we talked about this off air. It might get tied up in the legal system because if his wife decides to file for divorce or if he decides to file for divorce, they have to do a splitting of the assets in California, 50-50. And so they're going to have to value this asset and split it. And if one party doesn't want to sell, it might be a problem. It might be like the McCourts. If it's a contentious divorce and a splitting of the assets, like the McCourts and the Dodgers,
go to training camp if he's still the owner?
I think so. I think at this point, most people say, look, we're law-abiding citizens, right? If the NBA says this is horrible, 29-0, we're voting you out, we're forcing you to sell, but the state of California judicial system where this legal, maneuvering is going to happen, I mean, the NBA players can't be mad at the NBA, the Clippers, or anybody associated. I mean, this is a legal thing. What are you going to do? I mean, the courts take as long as the courts take, but, if the NBA does everything on the up and up and this vote takes place and they start the process and they force him and they serve him notice that he has to sell the team and the California court system, kind of sucks this into the abyss, I don't think the players have much of a leg to stand on. I mean, who are they angry at? They're angry at the California courts? I mean, Adam Silver can't do anything
Right. They're headed in the right direction.
If it gets to the point where it's tied up in court, then maybe the NBA appoints a trustee to oversee the team because the team still has to make trades. The team still has to bring on free agents. But there has to be a mutual understanding that this team will eventually get sold, and it's just a matter of time. And maybe Donald Sterling will sue the NBA, so then the NBA needs to fight back and maybe have like a Frank Robinson situation. Remember when Frank Robinson was a GM when the Montreal Expos were in the process of becoming the Washington Nationals? Frank Robinson was appointed by baseball to be the GM. So maybe basketball has to do something similar because right now Doc Rivers is head of basketball operations, but somebody ultimately has to decide whether or not to write the check and sign the free agent. So maybe
I think deep down inside, you just wanted to mention the Montreal Expos on our show. You miss the Expos, don't you? Keep it real now.
You missed
the Expos, the logo.
That was the farm system of all farm systems in baseball. Think about how many
great,
people came out of the Expos farm system.
You know what's so funny? We might have to do one of our segments where we look at teams who have had the most talent but just could not ever keep it because the Expos would be on that list. Definitely,
oh, sure.
They'd be on that list. Randy Johnson,
Larry Walker,
Pedro Martinez,
Lionel DeShield. They had a bunch of talented.
Andre
talented
Dawson.
Players.
They had, yeah. They definitely good times. It's almost sad, right? It seems like Toronto is the only for basketball and baseball is the only city, I guess, in Canada that can keep team. You know, hockey's different,
yeah.
But it seems like, you know, Vancouver, you know, they couldn't
Vancouver.
Stay. They moved to Memphis, yeah. I don't know what would be that other city if it's not Montreal, Vancouver, besides Toronto to, you know, have a professional team in baseball or basketball, or, you know, and I don't think the NFL would ever go there. And I think it's silly that the NFL talks about, you know, maybe they would go to London. I know you play once a week, but that travel, I just think it's a myth that a team, an NBA or NFL, would ever be stationed in Great Britain or in London. I don't think that would work. I don't think it would be feasible.
Yeah, and
you know,
it's also ridiculous that you would have – think about all the teams in the AFC West or the NFC West that would have to go from Seattle to London and back.
Yeah, no, it's
And forget about that. The London team, they have no road games where they could be on a bus, right? They would have – even if you did their weeks like 3 weeks in a row that they would be in London and then 3 weeks they'd be in the U.S., they'd still have to fly – 6 hours just to get to the East Coast, and then another 4 or 5 hours to get to the West Coast. So, I'm not a big fan of that.
You're not feeling that.
No,
I surely wouldn't
NFL
be feeling
London.
It.
I don't mind one game, especially if you can plan around it. You have the whole season to plan around.
Well, now,
it.
And you know,
okay.
It's so funny. Now they do. This year they're doing it again. Three games over there.
Three games.
So,
yeah. But what I'm saying is each team only goes once. So you have
right.
The schedule, you get it way in advance. You know when these games are coming up. One game is all right, not too bad. But, no,
yeah.
I don't think we should see the NFL expand to London. That's a little crazy.
So let's talk a little bit of baseball. It's been very, very good to us. It's very, very good to a lot of teams right now. The Yankees and Mets, they both lost last night. But going into it, they were 15-11. Now they're both 15-12. Maybe playing a little bit better than people might have thought. I kind of like that. Especially the Mets. Give them credit. Their pitching's not that bad. They're not scoring that many runs, you know, and their ERA is in the middle of the road. They're like, you know, ranked 12th in ERA. But I think that, you know, they're getting some runs. If they could keep it going, if they could continue to just maybe win series, get that 2 out of 3 or whatever, you know, maybe they could, you know, stay around. I mean, obviously, you know, Washington and Atlanta are sort of the class of that division. But you know what's so funny? Miami, it said 14-14. Give them some credit. You know, the Miami and the Marlins.
I think 12-4 at home. So these guys are pretty, you know, pretty impressive. They're only 2-10 on the road, so they got to do better on the road. But
yeah.
12-4
with Stanton
at home.
And then Fernandez, the young hitter and young pitcher, they've got something to build off of, so that's interesting. But I joked with you, right? I was saying off air, are you ready for like a Brewers and Athletics World Series, which would kill Major League Baseball financially? Nobody would want to see that. But give the A's credit, right? I mean, at 18-10, they're pitching, they're hitting, and I picked them to win the West. I really think that they're Bob Melvin's got a good thing going there.
And we talked about that, you know, Miami Marlins team being 12-4, so at home. So it's the exact opposite. Oakland is 12-4 on the road and only 6-6 at home. So their home park is horrible, by the way. But they're only 6-6 at home. So
when
if they
get
were
a new
able
one?
To
What's
get a little
that?
Bit better at home and stay dominant on the road, this team, I tell you what, man, I don't know what they do over
they
there.
They could run away with this division. It could get ugly.
Yeah,
they
you figure everybody else is major question marks, right?
Yeah.
Texas, the Angels, Seattle, Houston's not very good. So, yeah, I mean, I thought
that's
it would
a great
be Texas
sign to
Angels.
Have that type of road record this early. They're you know, 12-4 is nothing to sniff at. How about the Giants? The San Francisco Giants have now taken over first place for the Dodgers. Mess around.
That's
17-11, Ray. 7-3 in their last 10. The Giants just seem to they got some things going.
Now,
you got to like that.
They've got a great ballpark. So if you're doing your ballpark tour, San Francisco, AT&T Park, that's some good stuff over there.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet. I got to check it out. I can't believe what's going on out here in Phoenix. 9-22. the Diamondbacks are collapsing. This is bad, and it can't just be from one pitcher. You know, Prado's had some issues. J.J. Poots isn't doing anything and out of the bullpen. They're hitting, you know, Goldschmidt. I mean, what are they, 3-15 at home? Ugh, it's horrible. They're
yeah,
trying to give away
no
tickets.
Good. Yeah, that's not yeah. good. And they're
no,
in a division
no, no, no.
where, like you said, the Giants, the Dodgers are always going to be there just because of that roster. So that could get real ugly. That NLS could get real ugly real fast. I mean, Colorado looks like a pretty decent team. You know, I thought they might
have a chance
to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it looks like San Diego's 13-16. So if you're Arizona, you might, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, it sounds horrible, but you might have to write the season off. if by June 1st you're still in fourth place and you're – I mean, think about it now. You're in fourth place, and you're 5 games behind third place, let alone 9.5 games behind San Francisco, and you're only, 31 games into the season on May the 2nd.
That's,
By June 1st.
You know what's
going to
be fun? Yeah, no, you're totally right. But you know what's going to be really fun?
Long summer out there in Phoenix.
The AL East. Tampa Bay's only 3 out of the Yankees, and, you know, so is Boston. But these teams are all so close. And we talked about it when G Money had called, you know, the Rays always play better, and they'll get over their injuries. But I think it might be a whole summer where nobody pulls apart, and we could be going into August and the stretch run of September, and you have all 5 teams battling for potentially wild card, one of the wild card spots, and winning the AL East division.
You know what's interesting? All 5 of these teams are more or less 500 teams, right? 15-12 Yankees and 13-16
mm-hmm.
Boston is top to bottom, and that's only a 3-game difference. But here's an interesting stat. Every division in baseball has at least one team, if not 2. I think they each have 2. Sometimes you have 3, but yeah, he has 2 or 3 teams with a run differential that's positive. You know, basically you score more runs than you give up. Everybody in the AL East has given up more runs than they've scored. So this team is basically, this whole division is basically a 500 division. And with the uneven schedule where you play your own division 18 or 19 times, they're just going to beat up on each other. So if nobody runs away with this division, in some ways you could argue it's mediocrity, but in some ways it's kind of fun.
But they'll all be alive for a wild card, you know. I think they'll all be alive for a wild card, you know, maybe competing with a Texas, maybe a KC. You know, the way the AL's looking, it's looking like very easily the one wild card could potentially come from the AL West, you know, if the Angels or Rangers can, you know, get it together. And then if Kansas City can hang around, maybe they would have a shot. But you got to believe it could be, you know, let's say if the Yankees won the East, you could easily see the Orioles and the Rays or the Red Sox and Blue Jays, any combination of both wild cards coming from the AL East. So it'll be fun to watch, and we'll definitely keep a close eye. I like the interleague play is really, you know, it's not that big deal ever since they changed it last year. But you know, they had, the doubleheader yesterday with the Pirates and the Orioles. And, you know, it gets kind of fun. I still, you know, growing up in the era we grew up with, to me, interleague play, I find it special, you know, because it's, I don't know, some people don't like it. I really like it, you know.
I like it, too. You know, I understand both sides. At a certain point, though, I think they're going to have to get
away
with
it. They went too far?
No, I was going to say keep going. I think at a certain point they're going to have to bring the DH to the National League. It's been 40 years, basically, since we've had a DH in the
National
League.
It'll just make the game better. And
why
would the players want it? It extends your livelihood.
It does.
For guys that can play.
And the problem is that pitchers are not working on this part of their craft. So starting – you know, in high school, when you go to college, college pitchers are not really hitting. And so you have a situation where these guys for 4, 6, 8 years don't work on hitting, so of course they're not going to be good hitters. So it really in some ways diminishes from – it takes away from the game that you've got pitchers who don't know how to hit. So you could argue it's artificial and baseball started with everybody hitting, but the problem is the pitchers are not investing enough time and effort in hitting. So they've just become
it's almost ridiculous.
Yeah. It's almost ridiculous. So if you're not gonna have good hitting pitchers, then just have them all sit and DH everybody. You know.
Yeah, and I think honestly, just sort of like replay. It's what the fans would want, and it's what I think would make the game a little bit more.
And we
were
loving
exciting.
National League Baseball. That's what I'm saying. I've come full circle. I actually was a huge fan of keeping the two leagues separate. I loved interleague, so you got a little bit of a taste, you know, from May to July. But now I think you can still keep AL and NL, no problems, but I think you need to have one set of rules. I think you need to get rid of the DH. We might have to start a petition on that.
I'm going to start a little rain.
Well,
take
we got Bernard King
petition.
Into the Hall of Fame. So our petitions are working.
Don't tell nobody. Rante, we definitely did. Talking to Peter Vesey about that, we definitely did. And, that was before Peter Vesey got his check mark on Twitter. So people were listening to our show, and I think it definitely happened. So speaking of that, let's take a quick break, hit you with some of the flavor and the beats, and let's come back talking NBA playoffs. Rante.
We're back, and we're back to talk NBA. So first is breaking news that there will be no suspension in that little scuffle between Atlanta and Indiana. So that's a very good thing.
Great job, Adam Silver, again. You know, you don't need to follow the letter of the law all the time. Let's just use common sense. What's wrong with that, right?
They didn't instigate, and they didn't make things worse. And kudos to the quick reactions, and it's all instinct at that point, right? But kudos to the quick reactions of the Indiana coaching staff that just grabbed everybody and shoved them back to the bench. So I think the NBA did the right thing here. So the NBA is 2-for-2 this week, did the right thing here, and we'll see. We'll have the best team win, right? We'd hate to have the best player on Indiana go down for something where he's 12 inches onto the court. He didn't instigate. He didn't make things worse. So good kudos that the NBA didn't stick to the letter of the law and went more with the spirit.
Let's talk about these games. I mean, going back to last night, looking at that Pacers series, the stay there with the Hawks, I must feel for the Hawks because I think it's going to be hard to win Game 7, and we got the 3 Game 7s on Saturday. But I think it's going to be so hard to get sort of, even though they've been winning in Indiana, I think David West got his game off and got his confidence. And I think what we also saw is we're getting back to George and West being the 1-2 punch and being the leaders. And even though Hibbert started, and I think that sort of gave him some confidence. They definitely played the smaller lineup more.
And Chris Copeland.
I think Chris Copeland, who, I think he, when you get rid of Granger, then you got to play Copeland because he can come in and score. You need offense off the bench. Sometimes these coaches don't do the obvious. And so I think it's the same thing with the Thunder where I'm like, okay, you need to get more offense or you need to, change things up. You need to play Caron Butler and Steven Adams more. And, he did it, and the same thing for the Thunder, for Scottie Brooks. So, but kudos to, and I said that the Pacers might be done. Maybe I was wrong. But you know what? The Hawks have played, won a heck of a series. Jeff Teague, Millsap, Mike Scott, Carroll, these guys, Corver, they've played ball. So even if it's a – you hate to say it's like a win-win, but they've done a lot and they've won because they're building in the eyes of the Spurs. Danny Ferry was a part of that. Boonheiser, whatever the coach, has been a part of that. And I think the Hawks are going in the right direction. They just have to get lucky to get the right free agent, get Horford back, or get a good draft pick at the, you know, in the middle of the pack of the first round and get somebody. But I do believe Game 7, the Pacers will do it. I'll be shocked if they lose at home. I'll say
that.
Yeah,
I think the Hawks had an opportunity, and maybe looking back, especially if they lose tomorrow, they'll look back and say, we should have, could have, and definitely are kicking ourselves that we didn't win that Game 6. They had it. They had it. It was at home. It was tied. They could have easily taken control last 2 minutes of the game. But you know what? Kudos to a 38-44 Hawks team giving a 56
who had a lot of injuries,
number
yeah.
one seed Pacer team that has its eyes squarely set on the NBA Finals a run for the money. They may win. I'm predicting the Pacers like you are. I think the Pacers at home. Ultimately, they worked all year to get Game 7s at home. Now, they didn't expect to be using that trump card in the first round. They were hoping to use it in the third round against the Heat. But you know what? It is in Indiana, and I predict them to win. But you're right. You know, if you're the Hawks, kudos to the new regime, and let's look for the Hawks next
year. And you got some nice building blocks. I mean, you cannot tell me that you can't say, listen, Teague has moved in the upper 15 or 10 best point guards in the league. His game's getting better, and I think over the offseason, the confidence is more there now, will improve. A healthy Horford and Millsap, they got some nice pieces. So I think they're definitely on the right
way. And don't forget
about
that Kyle Korver with 3,000 consecutive games with three-pointers made. I mean, this cat is a definition of an excellent, excellent role player.
Yeah, definitely so. I'll tell you who is Mr. Reliable and forced another Game 7. The young gentleman who's got the best Sprint commercial when he shoots off into the sky. My 4-year-old William loves that commercial. He's like, it's so funny, Daddy. But Kevin Durant with 36-10. You know, Westbrook played, I don't want to say a perfect game, but Westbrook was amazing. I thought Westbrook really is why they won, how he played, not, overly aggressive, just getting his teammates involved, the shot selection. And Kevin Durant was a star. I mean, they looked so much faster than the Grizzlies. It almost looked like a whole other team. And I think it was a statement to beat them by 20 on the road. I don't know if the Grizzlies can win Game 7 now. I mean, 104-84, that's a spanking. So,
well, I think the Grizzlies have no shot if Mike Conley's not healthy. Even when Conley's healthy, Russell Westbrook gives him fits on defense.
Yeah.
Least Conley's quick, and Conley can force Russell Westbrook. Look, Russell Westbrook only shot 9-for-21. So it's a lot of shots from your point guard. And if Russell Westbrook can be forced into a similar type of game, maybe even a 7-for-24, 8-for-23 type of situation, then they have a chance. But with your boy Calathes being suspended for PED and Mike Conley being hurt, that means they don't really have any depth at the point guard position. So all they have, all they have is Beno, your boy Beno Udrich. So other than Beno, they don't really have any real point guard. I mean, they got Tony Allen and Jamal Franklin. I mean, these guys and Courtney Lee, of course, these guys are all two guards, right? They don't run the team like a true point guard would. And so I think this could be a blowout if Mike Conley's not healthy. And they say a slight hamstring. I don't know. Once you hurt your hamstring, there's no slight, especially in basketball where you got to cut and stop and start. And especially if you're guarding Westbrook and Westbrook's guarding you.
And he is hard to guard.
Yes,
hard to guard. Well, let's keep it moving. Clippers, Warriors, big win for the Warriors. Big win. I got to tell you, I wasn't sure if they could do it. All these rumors of maybe Mark Jackson going. I think the team is trying to play for their coach. Look, they're injured. This Game 7 is going to be impossible. Jermaine O'Neal's not there and Bogut's not there. They don't have enough size. And David Lee, he's going to foul out every game trying to deal with Jordan. And, Spates does a little bit, and he made a couple of quality plays, 100-99. I just think the Clippers are going to win this game 7-2 on Saturday.
I think so, too.
That's too much.
Too much.
It's
too
really
much
just too much, yeah.
That, you know, Draymond Green has got to cover people much bigger than he, and David Lee, same thing. Iguodala, same thing. I think the Splash Brothers will make it.
And Iggy, he had a good game, too. Played
yeah.
well. That four-point play was huge.
That loss of Andrew Bogut, especially against this team. I mean, you could argue that they could have beaten many other teams in the Western Conference. But just having to deal with Jordan and Griffin for seven games, and kudos to them
too
for
big.
Actually making it seven games. Yeah, it's too
to
much.
Seven, right. So let's look at these other series. Tonight, three game sixes, which could give us three game sevens on Sunday to follow it up. The Raptors at Brooklyn. You got to believe. Pierce and Garnett contribute. Joe Johnson wakes up. Darren Williams says, I don't want to be embarrassed and have people say that I'm the second best point guard in this series behind Kyle Lowry, which might be the truth. It might be the freaking truth. I mean,
quiet.
Yeah.
I would never say that in public,
Kyle Lowry.
If this series keeps going the way it's going, and if he outplays him tonight, that is Kyle Lowry. Outplays Darren Williams tonight. I don't think
21 a game.
I don't know what leg Darren Williams has to stand on it. We've loved him. He came in, they were 3-4, he and Chris Paul, and for about a decade they were more or less the best two-point guards. And you know, throw Steve Nash in there. But now Russell Westbrook and Tony Parker and all these other guys. I tell you what, man, this is important for Darren Williams for his confidence going into next year, you know, when they get Brooke Lopez back. They can't go out like that, can they? I think they win.
I think they win this game. I don't think Pierce will let it, but I got to tell you this, Darren Williams has got to play some ball. He has to play some ball tonight. We'll see. It'll be fascinating, and it'll definitely be fun. And then, I like this Maverick team, and I'm not a Maverick fan, but I like this Maverick team. But I think the Spurs might have them. Game six at home. I don't know if Dallas can pull it out. I mean, maybe they force a game seven, but if the Spurs are hitting their three-point shots, and if Kawhi Leonard could have a big game, Duncan could maybe, you know, get off and get some, you know, foul trouble on D'Alembert, him and Splitter.
And where's the
and they open up the middle.
Huh? He's almost too – last game he was great, Nowitzki. I'm just saying, where has he been in this series? I mean, with all due respect to Monte
Dirk
Ellis,
had a quiet –
Dirk Nowitzki,
yeah,
Dirk Nowitzki. I mean – Monte's nice.
He's had a quiet
series. But Dirk
series. Is Dirk. No, but Dirk, I think, he's taken a step back a little. He actually needs Monte and Carter to help him score. Dirk is, 18 a game? I mean, he's not really
doing it in this series.
He's not
like
doing
he was
big things.
Historically.
Yeah.
So
no,
you like Spurs
I think.
In this game.
I do actually. Actually, I like the Spurs. I like them to close it out. I think Pop is sort of. He knows how to push the right buttons. Spurs notoriously win a lot of games in the playoffs on the road. And I won't be shocked if Dallas wins.
I think home to hold serve. This series, even though it's 3-2, is about as close as it gets in most of these games. You know, San Antonio won the first game, but Dallas should have won that game.
I'll tell you this much. You need 20 from both Monte and Dirk for them to win. If they both
and
get
probably,
under 20,
probably from Vince Carter, too. Probably from Vince Carter, too, because – and also Dallas has to pick their poison, right? San Antonio is killing them from the outside, but then when they protect outside, they go inside and Splitter
yeah,
and –
Yeah, Duncan and Splitter.
Splitter and Duncan are killing them on the inside. And now if Kawhi Leonard wakes up and starts scoring, that just gives
them
that
what,
wing
yeah.
offense. That, yeah, that's hard to guard. But I still think the Mavs are going to hold serve at home, force a
okay.
game seven. So
and
what
we'll
do you
have
think
a game
about
seven.
Last game? Rockets Trailblazers.
I got to tell you, I'm so proud of Lillard. And, you know, Aldridge, I think they may have figured him out a little bit. And making him, you know, having a chic on him, making him work harder with a bigger guy and taking more jumpers. But, you know, I can't imagine that the Rockets are going to lose in six. But, you know, if you get Batum and Matthews hitting shots and Matthews can play good enough D on Harden, I could see the Blazers easily winning this game. And Lillard, he's dominating Lynn and Beverly. And I told you, and I just hate it with the turnovers. Now, they stayed alive and they won that last game, and they looked pretty good. But they got to come out and be aggressive, and they have got to find a way to not get 15. They need under 15 turnovers to win the game. If they get over 15 turnovers, the Blazers are going to win, and the series will be over. And I need Howard to give – I need Howard. He needs 25 and 12, 25 and 14. Howard has got to score. So I think both him and Harden both need 25, where Dirk and Ellis need 20. To win this game, Harden, because it's a high-scoring series. Like you said, both teams don't really play D. So look for that. If Houston does not get 25 from Howard and Harden, it's a wrap. But, you know.
Yeah, I got to agree. I think that I look for Houston to win the game. So, actually, I look for all three games to go to a Game 7. That would be great. We would have six Game 7s in the NBA, six out of eight in the first round. How crazy would that be? So, let's move it on. Let's talk about some NFL in the last 15 minutes of our show. We've got to talk NFL draft. Get ready. Because we've got a draft preview show on Monday. We've got the draft on Thursday. So let's start talking. Let's choose a few teams and talk about what they're thinking about.
We got
about.
Six teams to really focus on. We got our two favorite teams and the number one pick, Texans, the Steelers, Cowboys, Jets, Giants, and Cardinals. So let's start with number one, the Texans. They're coming out saying, oh, you know, we know who we're going to pick. Regular talk from any other GM. Of course, that you know who you want, whatever. Ray, I think, honestly, Mac fits best in their system. I don't think they want – I think they want Clowney, but I think they want to move out of this pick. And the reality is, if you go down to Atlanta at six, and we talked about this, I think this is the type of draft where – the top five players are on one tier compared to everybody else, and that might be too far. It might be being too cute to go down to six, and then what do they take? I don't know. Maybe they go with Bortles there. If they really want Bortles, then maybe you can get them at six. But I got to believe they take Clowney at number one unless somebody really wows them with a trade. Could you see the Jaguars wanting to go up?
The problem is the people who want to trade with you are six and lower. So it's Buffalo at nine, right? It's maybe Tampa at seven. It's the Falcons
at six.
What
about the Raiders? What about the Raiders, though?
I mean, if you tell me that there's five great players in this draft and the Raiders are number five, why would they pay a king's ransom to move up?
Well, because maybe the Raiders say that, you know what, we want Clowney. You know, maybe they want that pass rusher. You know, you just got Woodley and Tuck, and maybe if you had Clowney, because you know he's young but he learns from these veterans, you know, maybe that's the way for them to do something. I don't know. I think to me – they need to make it work, and you take Clowney at number one. I don't think he gets so cute.
I think so, too, ultimately. And look, remember, they have the first pick in the second round, which if you're not sold on these guys, we both project at least one of David Carr or Teddy Bridgewater
Mettenberger,
to be available late first round. So even if you think, I need to get that first-round quarterback, he may not slip to me at 33. I could trade into the mid-20s.
You can move up,
and pick up Bridgewater and be much cheaper than what other people
are. Or even stand pat and say, you know what, I'll go with Garofalo or Mettenberger, and they might not be, and they could potentially be better or just as good as Manziel or Bortles. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to play this, and that's why I don't know if these quarterbacks are going to just go in the top 15 or they could all slip down because – the teams that need them up top are like, we need more than just quarterbacks, and we could wait to get somebody else in the second round because there's not that much a difference between the quarterbacks. So that's what's going to be the fascinating storyline to me is, do they sort of wait? Do you take them? Do you wait? Do you take them? Do you wait? What do you do? do you, you know, say, I'll take these quarterbacks in the second round? So let's go next up to the Giants. Now, the Giants got like 15 free agents, and they sort of rebuilt their whole team. I'm sort of fascinated to see, because I think the one thing that they are missing is a tight end. Now, do they go and take Eric Ebron from North Carolina, which I could easily see? He might be gone, you know, by then if the Bills take him, but we'll see. If he's there, I think the Giants take him. And if not, I mean, the Giants, you know, they just gave Prince Amukamara, who started 16 games for them last year, the fifth year, so he, you know, he'll be back and happy. They rebuilt that secondary, Walter Thurman, DRC. So do the Giants, I think they really need offensive line. So if they can't get the tight end Ebron.
I think they take Zach Martin. If they don't take Ebron, they take Zach Martin. So you either need a playmaker on offense. And remember that you've got a lot of money now tied up into Victor Cruz. So you need to, when Victor Cruz was Hakeem Nicks, you took some of the pressure off of him. You need another offensive threat to take the pressure off of him. So that's why I think this pick is going to be on offense, and it'll either be an offensive lineman or a tight end. So I think it'll be Martin or Ebron, I think.
And what do you say to the folks that are sort of banging the table for like a C.J. Mosley or Anthony Barr? Because the Giants sort of still need help with linebackers, even though they brought back Beeson. Those aren't bad picks either, even though I think they have those other needs more. You know, that could be fascinating too, because you know Anthony Barr is just learning the position. This guy was a running back, and he's got a lot of upside.
I do like him. I wish that he goes to a team and he is able to learn a little bit, because I think in the next year or two, this kid might be, you know,
special.
Khalil Mack type, you know, projecting out to have an influence. I like this kid a lot.
Okay. So now back to back, our boys are picking right next to each other.
Jockey.
I wish we, you know, people don't know, Ray and Tay have watched many a draft together. You know, this year we won't be able to watch it together. I'm out here in Scottsdale and Ray's in New York, but we've seen many a draft together, and I don't think ever our teams have drafted back to back. But the Steelers, let's talk about them next at 15. I think some people think they need O-line. I think the guys they drafted are fine, and I think they're going to pan out. You could potentially go O-line, but I think that secondary's got to be revamped. Ike Taylor needs some help. Last year you got Shamarco Thomas. You just signed Mike Mitchell, so your safeties are coming together nicely to, you know, ease out Troy. Take Darquez Dennard from Michigan State. He's a bulldog. He's a great corner coming from a great defense. And I think Justin Gilbert will be gone. So to me, I would like Dennard. If not, after that, I would take a receiver, like the Beckham kid.
Yeah, so
kid,
that's
there.
The other kid, Beckham, who might be there for you. So that's it. I mean, that's the pick, right? Offensive tackle, potentially. If a guy like Taylor Lewan drops, you might want to snatch him up because, you know, you always need to protect Big Ben. He takes too many shots.
Yeah.
You want him last 2, 3, 4 years of his contract. You want him to ride out and not be hurt. But I think you're right. I think if Dennard is there, you take him an outside shot to take a wide receiver. I don't know that you need to take a wide receiver. This draft has so many. I don't think you need to take him at 15. So I would wait on the wide receiver, and I would take a cornerback. Same theory, yeah.
So now what about your Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
You guys need a safety. You need a pass rusher. You need a world. You need a lot. So I could see Pryor here. I could see Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix. Or I could see a young man from Texas A&M dropping, and I could see them maybe taking Johnny F. Football. Johnny Manziel maybe to the Cowboys. I don't want to say anything. We're going to do a mock drafts on Monday. But I could
see Aaron Donald, if he falls, going to the Cowboys.
I think Aaron Donald every day is moving up the draft board.
Anthony Barr potentially.
That three technique from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they might.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do. What about if they trade up? What if the Cowboys try to move up and trade with Buffalo or Detroit? The Cowboys might move up to get somebody.
But who? Who are they working? Aaron Donald?
Yeah, maybe so. They need a lot of help. They have nobody on that line. No pass rush.
Gilbert?
Maybe Anthony Barr.
Corner. Maybe Calvin Pryor. They get themselves a safety.
Yeah, if they stay there. But, I mean, if they move up, maybe they move up for Barr. Maybe they move up for, Manziel. Maybe they move up for, Listen, we don't really know at 33 and two back surgeries how healthy this guy Romo is going to be and he's going to stay. Remember, the back is what put Troy out of the game.
Yeah,
your man, Troy Aikman.
It was the back.
It was the back.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
all right, well,
definitely.
We'll see. We'll
let's talk
about
the Jets.
It on Monday.
Yeah,
what about
let's
the Jets?
Talk about the
exactly.
Jets.
I think some people are saying corner. Some people are saying tight end. But I think ultimately they're going to take a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think we both think it's going to be the same guy. I think if he's there, you got to take Beckham. I think his 40, his speed, his playing in the system at LSU with Cam Cameron, I think, of course your boy Rex would love a corner. But I think you put Beckham with Stephen Hill and Eric Decker and Curley, and then you start to have something with, Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory. The Jets would have a nice some toys.
Toys. Look, 6 months ago, everybody thought the Jets would definitely take Ebron. And if he's there, if for some reason he drops, because we thought the Giants might take him, if he drops, the Jets would be tempted to scoop him up. Is Kellen Winslow signed, by the way? What's his status?
For some reason, I heard the other day that he was back with the team, but I didn't see the official signing, so I don't know.
Okay.
But maybe he's coming back. So Dustin Keller's going to visit up with the Patriots, so he could sign there. He should come back to New York, but we'll see what happens with that. And then the last team we're talking about out here in the desert, Bruce Arians has really got something going. This Cardinal team, they beat Seattle. They were the team with the best record and missed the playoffs. The Cardinals, they had a rough schedule. But they surely are on the upswing. The question is here, do you take a quarterback for to basically sit for a year and learn and then, take position from Palmer, who is getting older and turns the ball over a lot? Or do you still build your team and then get a quarterback in the second round? So instead of maybe taking a Derek Carr here, which I think he'll be there for them, and I think they like him, should they wait to get Garofalo or Bentenberger in the second round or Aaron Murray, and then here maybe get another corner, get a Kyle Fuller to help Patterson? You only signed, Cromartie for 1 year, and you need corners in this league to have three great corners, or maybe they get another linebacker.
Get
they did
Pryor
lose.
If he falls.
Well, right, and they did lose. Remember, they lost Dansby, so maybe they get a Ryan Shazier, the linebacker.
Maybe Ely,
so
the defensive tackle.
Oh, Coney Ely,
from Missouri.
Yeah.
I
He's
tell
getting
you what,
ripped.
To me, the interesting
D-Ford?
Decision is
I like
Zach
D. Ford
Edinburgh.
There, too.
Yeah,
Ooh.
Really? D. Ford will be available. He's not projected to go up that high. So D. Ford will be there if you want another defensive lineman. But let me ask you this. So you keep talking about Zach Mettenberger. Zach Mettenberger is the perfect fit here because I personally think they're going to panic, and I think all these teams are going to panic and take quarterbacks too high. So I personally think they're going to take Derek Carr. However, Zach Mettenberger is the perfect solution if you believe in his game.
Mm-hmm.
He had the ACL injury. You don't expect him to start. I mean, you could say, look, we're not going to expect him to start for 16 games. We'll let our current quarterback do his thing. We'll let Carson Palmer do his thing. We'll let him teach. We'll pick Zach Mettenberger up in the third or fourth round. And
maybe even the second round.
Let him,
don't want to get too
cute.
Let
him build up that ACL strength, get his legs right. His arm is a cannon. So that's not a bad strategy. If you don't think Derek Carr projects to be a 10-year starter in the NFL, don't waste a first-round pick on him. Go get yourself somebody. Because, again, even though sometimes we overstate the importance of the draft, I still think that a first-round pick has to start and be a part of your rotation, maybe with the exception of quarterback, because it's the most difficult position, within, you know, first or second year. So you really need a lot out of your first-round pick. So it wouldn't be a shame to me as a Cardinal fan to go pick up a safety or a defensive lineman and then in the second or third round pick up a quarterback.
I could see a lineman. Because remember, Campbell's getting older, and they did lose Dansby, pass rush. I would say go get a D Ford. I like D Ford because he's hungry. I like how he plays. He plays like he wants to win. You know what I mean? So I D Ford wouldn't be bad. There's some other guys, and maybe they can go O-line. You know, Cooper's coming back, and they haven't re-signed Eric Winston. He's the, you know, head of the Players Association, but they do need offensive line too. So, you know, maybe there you get Cyrus Quandra, the big boy from Alabama. I like him too. He's slowly starting to move back up, as people were saying bad things about him and questioning if he was healthy. But,
yeah, so look, we got a lot to talk about. We'll pick it up on Monday.
Monday.
We'll give you our mock draft. We'll release it. Release it to the world. I might have to revisit some of my assumptions before Monday.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So
things are moving around.
Exactly, no doubt. So have a great sports weekend. Come back and join us same time on Monday.
Sixes and sevens.
We'll be talking about sixes and sevens are wild.
It's going to be great.
We'll give you NBA. We'll give you Mayweather. We'll give you some. Maybe we'll sprinkle in the Kentucky Derby. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we'll bring some of that stuff to you at the end of the show, though. We're going to hit you hard on Monday, straight up with some football, and we'll be joined by former Jaguar and Oregon Duck George Reister. We'll talk to him about what his thoughts are of the NFL draft as well. So Ray and Tay talking NFL big time Monday and Friday next week. So have a great weekend. Thanks for listening and talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Yo, this is Pablo Francisco. You know what? When I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to
Ray and Tay. That's right. All sports, all good. Yeah.
Peace.